What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Giants Nation podcast. I'm your host, Justin Roman. And guys, I hope you all are having a wonderful Monday morning. First of all, I hope every father out there in the world, if you do watch my podcast, or if you don't, really doesn't matter. I hope all fathers had a wonderful Father's Day, you know, and I hope you all enjoyed the weather. The sun's gonna be out, you know, all month long, for the entire 3 months. Cause it's summer, you know. But anyways, guys, today I decided to come back on here just because I wanted to talk about, a lot of you guys wanted me to talk about the Giants, really. But you guys really, it looked like some of you guys wanted me to compare the Giants and the Minnesota Vikings 2023 team building strategies. You know, and then you guys are asking me, Justin, run it back or tear it down. Well, both of these teams are very talented. You know, even though the Vikings got eliminated by the Giants, the Vikings have a lot of talent. I mean, they got one of the best, they got a top five wide receiver. And this is just my opinion. I believe they got a top five wide receiver all time in Justin Jefferson, you know? You know, some people were giving Kirk Cousins a pass, saying how the Vikings defense didn't show up, and I understand that, but we're in an offensive league now. You know, even though I would love to take some of the pressure off of Kirk Cousins, because I really think Kirk Cousins is a really good quarterback, you know. This is who he is. And I'm not trying to throw any slack on him. Because I think Kirk Cousins, he's proven that if you put him in a very good offense, he's gonna deliver. I mean, hell, this guy, he was in the MVP conversation. You know, so it's very interesting to see, you know, it was very interesting to see how he was gonna do with this very talented Vikings offense. You know, but in today's game, it doesn't matter how great or how bad your defense is. We're in a quarterback's league, and if your quarterback doesn't deliver at the end, your quarterback's gonna deal with the media and saying how Kirk Cousins didn't show up. I mean, why do you think when the Giants lost, why do you think everyone kept on talking about Kirk Cousins? Because we're in quarterback's league, you know. Why do you think everyone kept on mentioning that? Why do you think everyone kept on saying Daniel Jones had a better game than Kirk Cousins? Because we are in the quarterback's league. You know, everything nowadays, it starts and ends with the quarterback. If your quarterback doesn't play at a high level, you know, your quarterback's gonna get trashed on. But if your quarterback plays at a high level but still loses, that's a different story. Kirk Cousins didn't play at a high level, you know? And also, here's the thing, I'm not that kind of person that's gonna throw trash upon trash on one player. I thought the play calling for Minnesota was horrible. You know, the Vikings, why on 4th-and-12 would you pass it to TJ Hawkinson when your best player is Justin Jefferson? And it doesn't matter how, if he's triple teamed. Did anyone see what he did against the Bills when he caught that crazy one-handed pass? That one hand, when he caught a crazy pass with one hand, when he, Justin Jefferson was, he was being covered by three defenders on the Bills. Possibly four. This dude went up and caught it. And I understand some people don't believe in miracles, but that's what the playoffs is all about.
Are both of these teams gonna be very good this season?
I believe they can. The Vikings are not a bad team. They just need to fix the defense. You know? And if they can find a way to get Kirk Cousins not to choke in the playoffs, I believe the Vikings could become a possible Super Bowl contender, even though a lot of people don't believe that. It could happen. You know? Both of these teams are taking somewhat different. Just looking at both of these teams, you know, ever since the NFL season ended, you know, and just looking at how both teams have looked so far in the offseason, both of these teams are taking somewhat, I would say, different paths in trying to become Super Bowl contenders. You know, I mean, if you're gonna ask me, look at. Oh, no. Look, there has been a good deal of attention in the press lately to NFL teams who had successful seasons last year in 2022, but didn't even make their conference championship game, much less the Super Bowl. The Giants and the Vikings. I think it's very easy to say why. I think it's very easy to see why. There are numerous parallels between the teams. You know, first of all, both teams hired first-time hotshot analytics, orientated general managers and offensively minded head coaches after disappointing previous seasons. Number two, both have had question marks at the quarterback position. Number three, both performed above expectations in the first year of their new regimes. Number four, the Giants and the Vikings split two close games against each other in 2022, suggesting that, you know, they were pretty evenly matched. You know, Bill Barnwell of ESPN, you know, he was saying teams like the Giants and the Vikings that won a lot of close games with fourth quarter comebacks and negative, you know, season point differential and poor defenses are set up to regress in 2023. Given all the similarities between both of these teams, you'd think that they would be following similar paths in 2023 to take that next step toward being Super Bowl contenders. Yet, that's not the case, or at least, it's not necessarily the public perception. Here's what I would say about team building. Team building can take two extreme forms. A team that didn't win in the previous year, but feels they have most of the pieces in place and are close, will make some small tweaks and otherwise run it back. Expecting a better result the second time. At the other end of the spectrum, a team that sees its current roster as lacking in important ways and regards its previous success as fool's gold will tear it down, massively overhauling the roster and sacrificing near-term success for what they hope will be greater and more sustainable success in the long term.
I mean, let's look at the recent histories of the Giants and the Vikings. You know, if you know the Giants' recent history, then you should know this. A new head coach and free agent shopping spree in 2016 to get Eli Manning one more Super Bowl run created an 11-5 playoff team with many close wins whose boat sank in their only postseason game. The Giants' Jerry Reese mostly ran it back in 2017, but 2016 turned out to be fool's gold as the team collapsed to 3-13. A new general manager and head coach in 2018, but not a complete teardown. I think it's very safe to say, ever since Eli returned as quarterback, ever since Eli Manning returned as quarterback, but the results were hardly better. Finally, a new starting quarterback. After two games in 2019 and another new head coach in 2020, none of which got the Giants anywhere. While the Giants were bottom feeding the past few years, the Vikings were doing something different, but perhaps as frustrating, giving their fans hope and then snatching it away from year to year. I feel like unlike the Giants, the Vikings had stability at general manager. You know, Rick Spielman, who is the Vikings' current general manager, and head coach. Rick Spielman got fired. Rick Spielman was the general manager, and Mike Zimmer was the head coach for many years. Excuse me. I think the different curves between both teams. The Vikings seemed on the verge of Super Bowl contention in 2017 when they went 13-3, and Case Keenum hits Stephon Diggs in the Minnesota Miracle game. On a miracle 61-yard touchdown play to defeat the Saints in the divisional round. But then they were blown out 38-7 by the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC Championship game. I feel like, having decided that the quarterback position was standing between them and the title, they signed free agent Kirk Cousins to the first fully guaranteed NFL contract at what was then the most lucrative value ever in the NFL. They went 8-7-1 and missed the playoffs in 2018. In 2019, they made the playoffs at 10-6 and had another thrilling playoff win in overtime in New Orleans. But then they were beaten handily by the 49ers. In 2020, Stephon Diggs forced a trade in Buffalo, but the Vikings replaced him with an even better receiver in Justin Jefferson. It did no good as they fell to 7-9. 2021 was no better as they finished 8-9. This led to Spielman and Zimmer being replaced by Wesse Adefo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell. What I'm trying to explain by me saying all those facts, chronic ineptitude or mediocrity with occasional false hopes. Giants fans, would you like, I mean, I feel like, especially me, because I'm a Giants fan, I feel like all of us Giants fans should ask ourselves, would you trade places with Vikings fans? Two new regimes, but two different approaches. Let's look at the Vikings first. If you're going to ask me, Justin, when you look at the Vikings, what do you see? Do you see a team that's interested in competitive rebuilding or interested in just tearing it down and starting over? Tearing it down. Look at when Adefo-Mensah was hired by the Vikings in 2022, this guy described his philosophy as competitive rebuilding. Which is obviously trying to retool the roster on the fly while still having a chance to contend and at the same time navigating a difficult salary cap situation. I mean, despite the flashy name, his philosophy was viewed by everyone else as meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Adolfo Mensa signed several prominent veteran free agents to one-year deals and drafted some developmental players. In season, Minnesota acquired tight end TJ Hockenson from Detroit, who's not a bad, he's not the best tight end in the NFL, but he's not the worst, you know? The main asset surrendered being a 2023 second round draft pick. Otherwise, the Vikings pretty much ran it back in 2022, and it worked. They went 13-4 and won the NFC North. Most of their wins were close, and three of their losses were blowouts. Hence the view of many that they were fraudulent. I would say that's not a fair sentiment though. The Vikings did win a thrilling back and forth game at Buffalo, for example, and they dominated Green Bay in their opening game. But their playoff loss to the Giants left them with a bad taste. In particular, the Giants exposed the Vikings' weakness on defense and showed that they were a one-man wrecking crew, you know, and Justin Jefferson on offense. So, in 2023, Adolfo Mensa, this guy has apparently gone into tear-it-down mode, according to Pro Football Talk and the Minnesota Star Tribune. Several older prominent veterans were jettisoned, many of them on defense, Za'Darius Smith, Patrick Peterson, Eric Kendricks, but also wide receiver Adam Thielen and running back Dalvin Cook. More of this may happen in 2024 when Kirk Cousins' contract is up. But with a $28.5 million dead cap hit if they decide not to extend him. Adolfo Mensa, he drafted wide receiver Jordan Addison to try to, you know, alleviate the double teaming of Justin Jefferson. That allowed teams like the Packers and the Giants to limit Minnesota's offense. They also interestingly drafted a quarterback. They drafted Jaren Hall of BYU. I think it's very obvious to say this kid could be a possible successor to Kirk Cousins in 2024. But not everyone sees what the Vikings are doing as a teardown. Kevin Seifer of ESPN feels that Adolfo Mensa is still walking the competitive rebuilding tightrope. He anticipates that Minnesota will have a 7 to 8 new starters in 2023, but feels that 2024 will be where the rubber hits the road. A decision on Cousins combined with, you know, $53 million in 2024 affected cap space, which is the 10th largest in the NFL, will define where this Vikings team goes. Look at Minnesota only used 3 draft picks on defense, which was their Achilles heel in 2022. So either the defense is better or worse than in 2022 is questionable. Now let's talk about my Giants. And when I look at the Giants, the first question that comes to mind is what exactly is their philosophy? What philosophy is Joe Shane trying to spew out to us Giants fans, to this fan base? Look, it's not easy to decipher how Joe Shane would like to build a team. You know, in 2022, he was stuck with a mess, a bad team with bad contracts that put him in a $40 million salary cap hole as a welcoming present. Job number one for Joe Shane was getting, you know, obviously that was job number one for Joe Shane, getting the Giants into salary cap compliance while finding some way to put together 53 players who are collectively better than their 2021 counterparts. You know, I mean, look at departing general manager Dave Gettleman did leave Joe Shane a housewarming gift by acquiring 2022 first and fourth round picks in 2021 trade down with Chicago, as well as a 2022 fifth round pick and a 2023 seventh round pick in the deal that made Ben Bridgeson a Giant. Joe Shane added to those by executing two trade downs during his first draft in 2022. Then he acquired third and sixth round picks in 2023 for problem child Kadarius Toney. Those moves could be constructed as a teardown philosophy. You know, if the 2021 Giants could be defined as something that could be torn down, torn apart, maybe. What now? Here's what I would say. Joe Shane didn't do, though, was acquiring a quarterback to replace Daniel Jones. Maybe the 2022 class just didn't appeal to the Giants. Maybe Joe Shane and head coach Brian Daboll, entering their Giants tenure, wanting to give Daniel Jones and everyone else a chance under a new coaching staff. Maybe they just didn't see a path to getting an elite quarterback in the draft or by trade. Whatever the reason, it didn't look like a teardown. The season didn't play out that way either. Brian Daboll never conveyed a sense that he was just trying to get through the season and evaluate players for the future. Instead, down a point with a minute to go in his first game, he went for two to win rather than tie. When the Giants clinched a playoff spot by defeating the Colts, Brian Daboll said after the game, "Our goal, it'll never be just to make the playoffs. That'll never be just our goal. That sounds like competitive rebuilding, you know?" If you're going to ask me, should the Giants have torn it down this year? I mean, look, as exhilarating as the 2022 season was for the Giants and their, you know, and us as fans, the stark reality was that the Giants got smoked twice. You know, as Brian Daboll said, by the NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles, and also lost twice to the Dallas Cowboys. Despite that, though, the Giants are projected to have maybe only 5 to 6 new starters this year. Darren Waller, Paris Campbell, John Michael Schmitz, Deontay Banks, Bobby Okereke, and maybe Bobby McCain. Now, if you're going to ask me, Justin, can the Giants ever hope to win the NFC East and legitimately challenge for the Super Bowl with a roster anything like the current one? I mean, much of that question falls into the lap of Daniel Jones. You know, the Giants shoved their chips to the middle of the table by giving Daniel Jones a big 4-year contract. Adolfo Mensah didn't do anything like that with Kirk Cousins. So, I mean, I feel like that's the next question we should be coming up with. Can Daniel Jones produce like an elite quarterback over a full season? Or will the Giants find themselves in quarterback hell, stuck with a good but not great quarterback who can get them to the playoffs but not to the big show? I mean, Joe Shane didn't draft a developmental quarterback this year as a hedge against Daniel Jones winning in the spotlight. I feel like there's a lot of other things that come. There should be a lot of other things that comes when you're talking about building a great offense. Is the Giants offensive line with Evan Neal retooling his stance and John Michael Schmitz added within striking distance of being a unit that can hold off the ferocious pass rushes of the Eagles and the Cowboys? Are the additions of Darren Waller, Paris Campbell, and Jalin Hyatt enough to create a championship caliber receiver room? Pro Football Focus doesn't think so. They ranked the Giants receiving corps for 2023 at number 25 in the NFL. Is the Wink Martindale defense with the additions of Deontay Banks, Bobby Okereke, and A'shaun Robinson capable of matching what his best Baltimore Ravens teams did a few years ago? All I'm saying is this: Joe Shane and Brian Daboll obviously think the answers to these questions are yes, or at least they have progressed from now to maybe since 2022. The 2023 season, I feel like the 2023 season will show us either the Giants 2022 was fool's gold. You know, now if you're gonna ask me, Justin, what if the Giants regress in 2023? I mean, this is what Barnwell is predicting. I mean, it could happen. At this time in 2017, the Giants were in almost the same position as they are now, coming off a playoff berth with a successful head coach entering his second season. I mean, let's imagine this. Let's imagine a 7-10 2023 season. Not as bad as the Giants in 2017, because we have to give Brian Daboll's impressive staff the benefit of the doubt. And because most of their core players are still young, but bad enough to be a big disappointment. A lot will depend on why they regressed. A slew of debilitating injuries to key players. Everyone hopes that, you know, everyone, including myself, every Giants fan hopes that the new MetLife turf allows the Giants to no longer be among the leaders in man games lost to injury. But if this does happen, it's very obvious to say it's hard to imagine a change in approach. Luck runs out in close games. That's entirely possible. Now, if you're gonna ask me, is it enough for Joe Shane to change his thinking? Probably not. 2023 Daniel Jones equals 2022 Daniel Jones. You know, that might be the thing that gets Joe Shane and Brian Daboll thinking. Daniel Jones had a good Daniel Jones was really good in 2022. Very good if you go by metrics such as ESPN's quarterback rating, QBR. But with an anticipated improvement in the receiver corps and offensive line, more is expected. You know, I mean, here's a comparison of four quarterbacks for the 2022 season from the NFL quarterback cards app. Daniel Jones had the highest grade over Jalen Hurts, Kirk Cousins, and Patrick Mahomes. Daniel Jones and Kirk Cousins have pretty similar 2022 seasons in terms of expected points added, which is EPA. You know, completion percentage over expected, defense adjusted value over average, and PFF grade. Daniel Jones trailed Kirk Cousins in defense adjusted yards over replacement, but then Daniel Jones wasn't throwing to Justin Jefferson. But the two quarterbacks who were literally in the Super Bowl last year were better in most of these metrics. The incomparable Patrick Mahomes, to be sure, but Jalen Hurts as well. I mean, no team can expect a Patrick Mahomes clone, but somewhere between Hurts and Mahomes, it's probably what is needed to make a serious run at a Super Bowl. All I'm saying is this: if we do see a Daniel Jones in 2023 that is similar to Jalen Hurts in 2022. But the Giants' record is worse than in 2022. Most likely, the Giants stay the course and just try to add pieces. Now, if Daniel Jones plateaus at his 2022 level, then the challenge becomes greater. You know, I mean, if you're going to ask me, do the Giants then tear it down and start over? What does that look like for a team with mostly young players in key positions already? Look at the Giants only have the normal 7 picks in the 2024 draft. So it probably means unloading veterans in seasons for picks. Leonard Williams or Dory Jackson to a contender that has lost a starting interior defensive lineman or cornerback to injury. Maybe it even means trying to get a first round pick for Daniel Jones from a team that sees itself as a contender, and then trying to package two first rounders next winter to get a ticket in the Caleb Williams or Drake May sweepstakes. As the chart earlier, as I said earlier about the chart, the Giants have even more effective cap space in 2023 than the Vikings. You know, which the Vikings have $58 million in cap space, which is the ninth most in the NFL. So they could be more active in free. The Giants could be more active in free agency than they have been to date. You know, so look at all I'm saying is this: if the Giants are faced with an unfortunate scenario like this, I think it's very obvious. I think it's very good to say Joe Shane may be watching closely as Wesley Adofo-Mensah walks that same path. So that's all I gotta say about that. I hope you guys. That's all I gotta say about that. But look, you know, 2023, it's gonna be interesting. Could both of these teams make the postseason? Absolutely. I believe both of these teams are talented enough to get back to the postseason, especially in a bad conference. I will say this: every season is not promised to us. That's why I keep on saying, the NFL does this to make teams better. They do this to challenge young players who want to be stars. And if Daniel Jones wants to be a star, he has to face tougher challenges. That's all I gotta say about that. So yeah, guys, that's all I gotta say. I hope you guys enjoyed my long talk about the comparisons with the Giants and the Vikings. Hey, you guys wanted me to talk about this, and I talked about it. So I hope you guys enjoyed this one. Let me know how you guys feel about my long scenario, my long paragraph related talk. I appreciate the question. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. Like I said before, I'll keep you guys updated for more news about the New York Giants, so stay tuned. But until then, guys, I am out. Peace.